Today's episode of Night Call is brought to you by Roswell, New Mexico. Catch the series premiere of Roswell, New Mexico, Tuesday, January 15th, only on the CW.
It's 2:29 a.m. in Roswell, New Mexico, and you're listening to Night Call.
Hello, and welcome to Night Call, a podcast for your strange days and lonely nights. I am Tess Lynch in Los Angeles with
Molly Lambert, and joining us from New York,
Emily Yoshida. Happy Masked Singer week.
Oh, yeah. Happy Masked Singer century.
We had no idea we'd entered the Masked Singer era. We waltzed into 2019 so naive, thinking, oh, it's just another year. But in fact, we are living in the world of the Masked Singer now, the Masked Singer extended universe.
It felt like we were entering a new era.
Yeah. The bird mask ASMR plague doctor thing that we watched and discussed on the podcast a while ago, it's like it ruined the Masked Singer
for me. It came to life.
It did. It came to life. And I just picture them singing in ASMR voice.
Well, people I know, like the billboards for the Masked Singer were amazing because they were so...
They look like a Vegas show.
Yeah, or like a Black Mirror. They were just like, the masks are particularly creepy on purpose, it seems. I guess it's originally a Korean show and this is the American reboot, but maybe they... I don't know what the aesthetic of the original show was. I would imagine it was this because it's very memorable.
I saw a clip where they were like, where it was not just a mask. It's like they have like whole costumes.
Yeah.
It's like a whole, like there's a lion one I saw.
It's a full body suit.
Ken Jeong is like, I know that lion.
Yeah, my friend Sarah Johnson was saying it's part of the Eyes Wide Shut universe.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes, absolutely.
It's because they don't want you to like recognize people by their bodies either, I imagine.
Oh, because that's really easy to do.
Well, it's even hard. I don't know how anyone sings when they're inside like a hippo costume.
Well, we were discussing this. I mean, is it recorded inside their mask or is it pre-recorded? I have so
many
questions.
That's what Tess wanted to know. That was her main question was, are the vocals, how do you sing in that thing and have the vocals come out?
How weird is it going to sound with the, you know, voice
muffled
wave
by...
bouncing off your bird
There's
mask?
There's probably a microphone inside the mask.
Yeah, but that's going to sound
really
weird.
That's probably why it's
weird.
So big.
But maybe the acoustics inside the head are really good.
They've created an acoustic environment inside the head of the mask.
How would
you know what
do
it kind
that?
Of reminds me of is
the Integratron
ending. Did you guys ever see Tony Erdman, which is like getting new with Kristen Wiig and Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
The original is incredible. I highly recommend it to everybody.
Is there a suit in it?
There's this like weird traditional Scandinavian suit that comes into play in the end, like this monster suit. It's so bizarre, and it's like, I can't even describe it. I mean, I can't spoil anything.
This is like a kaiju singing competition.
Yes.
So it was like something about it that's really funny, because you're like, oh yeah, it's like kaiju suits, Godzilla suits, people singing, and it's not evil, seemingly. That's what I was saying. It's like, even though it's like a dystopian reality show that feels good for our current moment, it's not like The Swan, the all-time benchmark for feel bad reality TV that makes
we've
you
talked sort of about reassuring. The Swan.
Yeah, I think it's sort of reassuring in some ways, like to think back on The Swan and think, well, not everything gets worse.
We don't have
The Swan anymore.
That was the point where I was like, that was when I thought everything was going to be so bad forever.
Right. Did you guys, how much of The Swan did you watch?
All of it.
Yeah, me too.
Not
much of it.
It was, I found it so hard.
I feel like we've talked about The Swan so much on
no,
this show, but we will talk about it again, which is that it was a reality show where it was like they gave a bunch of average women insane plastic surgery makeovers and then had them in a beauty contest.
Yeah.
And somebody won and they were the Swan.
I just can't believe
Fun
it was
stuff.
Real. It's one of those things that I feel like we have to talk about periodically to remind ourselves.
What was
it
amazing
happened.
Was then they like followed the contestants after the makeovers and it like ruined all of their lives.
I mean, duh. But
I know, but they showed that. They were like, my husband doesn't recognize me anymore. And like, we've grown apart. It was so fucked up. And you were just like, not everything that's entertaining should be on television because, like, people would watch executions.
Right. But it's also in the same vein of Temptation Island, where it really took, you know, finding out that a couple had a secret child and that they were, like, a casualty of the show to make you be like, oh, it was really a bad show. That
I don't
was a
even
bad
know
thing.
About this Temptation Island scandal.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
The Masked Singer is also, like, it's funny that people are talking about it. It's such a January show.
I love August entertainment. I love January entertainment. Best months for new stuff.
So, yeah, the judges.
The escape room.
The judging panel. Yeah, you loved escape room. The judging panel is, like, Ken Jeong, Jenny McCarthy.
Boo.
Thick.
Boo.
Okay.
And one more person.
Nicole Scherzinger.
Ah,
no, boo. Ultimate boo.
Can I tell you a fun fact about Nicole Scherzinger?
Yeah, but can you say her name one more time?
Scherzinger.
Oh, I got Scherzi.
She's the original Rita Ora.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that the song Amber by 311 is about her?
The color of her energy?
Yes.
The no.
The color of her energy.
Really?
Yeah, she dated the guy from 311 and he wrote that song
is
about
Amber
her.
Is Amber a bad wow. energy color?
No,
I don't
it's,
know anything about her.
You know, the color of your energy. It's chill.
You guys, I just totally remembered something I've buried for years. I had a sociology teacher, I believe, who had us read each other's auras.
What?
In freshman year, I believe. And I have completely, that just like came back to me in a flash.
Wait, please
when
tell
you
us.
You were talking about it.
What was the color of your teen energy? Emily.
I don't remember at all, but I remember thinking, why are we doing this in sociology
did
class?
They interpret your aura for you?
Somebody did. We like took turns standing up in front of the like pull down overhead screen and turned the lights out and apparently tried to read each other's auras. I don't like really remember
wait,
any specifics.
Wait.
I'm just like.
There was not an aura camera. First of all, I understand nothing about aura photography because.
No,
just,
I
like,
don't know anything about it. I could not tell you anything.
Camera. Guys, it's because it's not real.
I know it's not real, but I mean, like,
it's
how
like
do
your,
they make the
it's
effect?
Your heat. Your body heat.
I know, but how do you capture it?
Like
what's
you're a mood
the
ring.
Device
heat
that
camera.
You use? A heat camera?
It's like that thing in the Terminator's head.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know?
So he was just an aura reader.
Yeah, the Terminator was reading their aura.
The Terminator is a mood ring.
Yeah,
he's a,
exactly.
He's a walking mood ring
Terminator,
that will destroy everything.
Terminator apologists.
Yeah.
New Age Terminator is very much our vibe on this podcast.
It kind of is. I just want to hear a little tiny bit more about The Masked Singer. So, Molly, you watched it. They're both masked and it's two people battling. I just need to know so I don't have to watch it.
It's different battles.
Okay.
And then it's a round
versus,
robin. It's versus.
I thought it was just the guessing part.
Oh, no. There's also a complicated
system. You have to have
system.
A competition aspect.
It is versus, and then at the beginning they tell you what the battles are, and it's literally like hippo versus unicorn. Peacock versus horse.
Yeah. And you said one of the masked singers, spoiler alert.
Yeah, they reveal one of the masked singers at the end of each episode. And I was mostly curious about like what like level of celebrity we're talking about here. Like,
and you got your answer.
I got my answer. And the answer was Joey Fatone.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Do you ever have like, you know, when you're watching something from the 70s or 80s and you're like, oh, my God, everybody was on so much cocaine.
Yes.
Like people are going to look back on this era and be like, oh, my God, everybody was on so much CBD. It's like the weirdest, most like half awake, half remembered idea for a show. Like, yeah, I think a hippo and a lion battled each
my
other.
My only complaint is like the song selections are very American Idol. I wish it was weirder. On
like,
that
what
level,
were the songs?
Like fight song.
Oh,
it would be great if it was just all like the Pina Colada song.
I always want them to choose their own songs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's always been my issue with Idol. It's interesting to see like what the mentors choose, of course, because it makes them all seem like they just stopped listening to music at a certain point a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And they're just like, I only know four songs now.
They're like,
and I'm just
we'll get you
assign.
Something edgy. How about Benny and the Jets?
Exactly. But I feel like that's what's nice in a way about
that's
the
you
voice
use your falsetto.
Is they like choose their you, go in your false. Go in your false.
Mm-hmm.
They like get to choose, I would assume. I always thought on The Voice they like chose their own songs, but it seems like in particular with The Masked Singer,
but even if
there should be that element because it speaks to who you are inside.
Right.
Man.
Well, maybe it'll give it away too much.
Yeah, but in a way it's like it's a good clue because you could choose a song that doesn't fit with your image and trick everybody.
It also fits into the Bird Box universe. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's all about things you can't see.
Things you can't see, exactly.
Yeah. You're going just by voice.
And you can be tricked we're by all in, appearances. We're,
and
disguises.
Escape room, too, right? Is there some sense isolation in escape room? Go with me here.
No, but
choose
there's like the elements. There's yeah. like there's like a room that's just ice and a room that's just fire.
Do they take place in reality?
In reality, like in the world or like in a constructed environment?
That's what I mean.
The people in the movie think that they are in an escape room, like a really, really detailed, like high budget escape room. It's still like in fact, they are trying to be killed by somebody.
It's so good. It's so fun. I highly recommend it. Too spooky, maybe, for me, but...
No, this is the thing about it. It's like not a horror movie. It's just a suspense movie with puzzles. Like, it's not, there's not that much gore. It's rated PG-13. It's just like, we're in a crazy upside down room now. How are we going to get out of it?
Uh-oh, it's a puzzle. Oh, speaking of which, I've recently gotten really into puzzles.
Me too.
Oh, really?
Me too. Yeah. Is this the new coloring? Is everybody just simultaneously like, I love puzzles?
You know, I was always really underwhelmed by the coloring fad. I don't know. I mean, I understand it's very soothing, but I didn't care. Mm-hmm. And I never wanted to see what anyone was coloring. Like, it just didn't interest me. But puzzles.
But puzzles
are very interesting. I got these cube bots. I got them from a friend of mine. I stole them from my kid. And they're really, really hard to the point where I have to...
What are cube bots?
They're three-dimensional puzzles that look like little men made out of wood.
Oh, you're
and then
into
you have
3D
to fold
already?
Them into a cube. And it's so hard. There's one that's teeny tiny. And it's been like months. It's been months. I can't find a YouTube on how to solve them. So I've just been like sitting sweating.
I just get frustrated and give up on
a puzzle.
That kind of puzzle.
Oh, I love puzzles.
Try it now, Molly. You might be in a different place.
I don't think that's
I found
how
I'm
my
in a
brain
different
works.
Place.
I like Tetris.
Then
I
you like puzzles.
Played some Dr. Mario the other day.
How was it?
Fantastic.
Imagine Tetris, but like without the time constraint and then without the music getting faster. Like you can just chill out and stare at the puzzle.
I mean, I did like a regular puzzle over the holidays. I feel like a lot of people were posting puzzle content.
We're puzzling.
Because it's a wholesome... Yeah. A wholesome activity.
It's very stress relieving because it refocuses your stress back onto yourself where it belongs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of just defaults to like your lizard brain a little bit.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
why I like baking.
Blinking. Yeah.
Baking?
Oh, I thought you said blinking.
That's
I was
why
like,
I like
me
blinking.
Too, I suppose.
You have to do it. You really have no choice.
I tried to stop and it was terrible.
Aren't there some lizards who don't blink?
Well, there's the ones that lick their eyeballs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Geckos. Well,
how does that make you feel?
That they lick their eyeballs feels great.
I love it.
If you could lick your eyeball, wouldn't you?
Yes. I was just thinking, I wish we all could.
If you have something in your eyes,
was that ever a thing when you were in high school? Like
you would lick each other's eyeballs?
Licking somebody's eye. And it was kind of like a sex thing. But
no.
It was like people would do it on a dare, kind of like in a spin the bottle type scenario.
You just dredged up a really great memory of mine.
One that I don't even know.
You don't remember. That was a thing.
I don't know what you're talking about. I was
you weren't at the right parties, Molly.
I was too busy just stacking those quarters on for Domino's.
Oh, guys. Oh my God. Should we take a night call?
Let's take a
night
call.
Yeah, let's take a night email.
This is a night email from friend of the podcast, Aurora, who came to our first live show. Shout out, Aurora.
Woo-woo.
Aurora wrote with more information about the Integratron. More about the Integratron and its creator George Van Tassel's direct connection to UFOs. The Integratron was originally built as a rejuvenation machine, an electromagnetic wave oscillator contained in a 50-foot diameter dome in the desert near Landers. Constructed in the 50s and 60s by George Van Tassel, a former test pilot for Hughes and Douglas aircraft, who moved into a hollowed-out boulder near the Integratron site in 1947. Ooh, 1947.
Ooh, that'll come into play later.
Van Tassel was interested in UFO contacts and the metaphysics of George Lahovsky, on whose principles the Integratron is based. The mechanical apparatus that generated the healing energy disappeared after Van Tassel died in 1978. In the early 2000s, sisters Joanne Nancy and Patty Carl purchased the Integratron. It has since become a popular attraction known for its sound bath meditation sessions. There you go. George Van Tassel also lived underneath Giant Rock nearby, where he organized several UFO conventions in the 50s to the 70s.
So
rejuvenation.
Yeah. I mean, I do remember hearing that the Integratron is not actually the way it's supposed to, like, the way that he intended it to be built.
Like a rejuvenation machine?
Yeah, like it's not the full thing, the full finished product.
If you were going to build a compelling, like if you wanted to either, you know, trick people or you thought like something might actually work and you were building a rejuvenation center, what would be in it?
I mean, I think you just get people out to the desert and they're willing to bite on whatever you tell them is going to happen.
I think yeah. you want a really hot, salty, salty, salty bath.
Oh, we've been talking about this a lot.
A hot, salty bath?
A hot, salty bath. To me, well, I mean, Emily, Emily sent along an article that we'll talk about in a minute about the School of Practical Philosophy. But it made me think about how, like, there's this weird kind of gray area between reality and the constraints of physics, and you know that certain things can't be done. But then there's that, like, what if kind of zone, you know, where you're like, but
altered states?
Yeah. But it's also like, you know, Epsom salts, for instance, like taking an Epsom salts bath. If you look online about like the uses of Epsom salts and like the qualities that people think that Epsom salts have and like, you know, how they can like truly heal you and stuff.
Right.
You're like, OK, crazy. I believe it up until here. And then yeah. I don't believe it past well, then. But it made me think like I'd be really great at starting like a kind of like a cult.
Right.
Because there are mm-hmm. things, so many things like the Epsom salts.
Well, that's obviously what this podcast is eventually pivoting yes. to, as we've talked about many times.
Epsom salt of podcast.
Exactly.
I feel like Emily's aura reading teacher and our math teacher who's into the zodiac, I always think that's interesting where it's like you just assume that like science people don't believe in like crazy things, but that's not true at all.
It's not true.
And like so
right.
much of science. I was really obsessed with alchemy for a long time.
Mm-hmm. You wrote a great play
about
alchemy.
But I was just like, the idea was like so much of chemistry came out of alchemy as
right.
like a
well,
byproduct
it's like a system.
Of people trying people to like do crazy, impossible things.
Also crystals. Yeah. I mean, like, look, do I have crystals?
Any system of understanding, like any cause effect, whether it's yes. actually real or not, but like to be able to think about some sort of taxonomy and system of like one thing affecting another, like that can be fun, like even if it's totally fake, like
yeah.
just to think
yeah.
about, you know, a way of organizing your understanding of the world.
Well, it makes things make sense so you don't
yeah.
go crazy.
Yeah.
For some people, I went into a crystal store the other day and sort of reached my limit of crystals,
yeah,
which is that I was like, here's the thing, because like the person who worked there was talking about like charging them in the moon and they will give you positive energy.
Right.
And I was like, no.
Uh-huh. But you know what's very therapeutic is making yourself go through these weird rituals. It's not
I
about
know
the
people,
object,
yeah, the action.
Right, you know?
I know
yeah,
people
yeah.
who are really into like holding them because it's like a worry stone.
Exactly.
It's like something to absorb your anxiety if you're like on a plane or something.
But in a way, it also has like a video game quality of like giving yourself a task that doesn't, it's not a practical task. I mean, literally being like, pick
doing
up an object, put it in the moonlight. Like it means
yeah.
you're going outside to
yeah.
like an area at night and then like going inside, like having completed this weird task that you assigned yourself.
Right.
I feel like that's a very
as soon as people are spending
thing,
money on it, I
well,
feel like it's
the
thing.
Problem.
But here's what I was going to say is like what I find so silly about that kind of crystal stuff, and obviously it's a big part of New Age stuff, is what's amazing about crystals is that the fucking earth made them.
I know.
Like
yeah.
when you go to the Hall of Gems as a kid and you're just like, all of these things exist in nature for some reason.
Yeah.
Like that is amazing to me. You don't need to put anything on top of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if there weren't people who were obsessed with categorizing them and like talking about their energies and talking about their differences, you might fail to like notice them in the way that you do, man.
I mean,
you know?
For me also, like for something like a diamond, like the fact that it's so dense that light moves through it in a different way, that's enough for me. Like that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that
or
was
like a prism, just a good
yeah.
old fashioned prism is
prisms
crazy.
Prisms are cool. Prisms are cool.
I wanted to bring up just as a side note about the Integratron. Because I think I was kind of, when I was trying to summarize the Integratron last week, I was kind of, I think, blending the mythology of the Integratron and Starfire Water.
Yes, tell us about Starfire Water.
Starfire Water, it is a water, a bottled water that is sold, I've only ever seen it in Los Angeles, but I know for sure they sell it at M Cafe. And I make a point of getting one. We've had our last couple of like night call lunches at M Cafe on Melrose.
It's near the studio. Spoiler alert.
And they sell Starfire water, and I need it for
Can I guess what I think it is? Is it sure. like full of charged crystals?
Well, it gets better. I'm going to read you. This is the label of Starfire water. Thirst the fire. Legend has it that the mystical Starfire was the liquid mana of the divine used by the ancients for ultra focus, extreme performance, and even enlightenment. In that vein, we introduce Starfire water, a proprietary alkaline performance bioholographic living water produced using breakthrough 21st century quantum water technology. Starfire water is treated with ultraviolet oxygenation, infrared stimulation, and electromagnetism for a negative, parentheses negative sign, ion-charged water, as in nature, allowing deep cellular intake through your aquaporins, the floodgates to hydration. Vortex induced. No, this is not. I'm about halfway done. Oh, vortex induced using a solar helix and pyramid grid pattern to give it a hexagonal structure, and infused with monatomic elements, we are able to achieve a water with cosmic healing energy. This water is amplified with some kind of sonic wave. I can't read it on the label. Oscillation tuned to the planet's frequency. And it becomes illegible after a certain point on here because I'm looking at a bad picture.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All wow. together, we've created the world's finest performance living hexagonal superstructured water.
I need to know why it's living. They don't explain. Why is it living?
So you can go. There's a YouTube address on the back of the bottle, a YouTube hyperlink, which I did look at, and it has like 1,000 views on it or something. But it's just somebody at like some kind of health food fair talking about how, oh, yeah, it does. I do feel really energized with this water. It has a picture of like a bird and a yin yang and stuff.
Did it make you feel hexagonal?
It's nice tasting water. It costs about $6 for a bottle. So
no.
That's hexagonal, like $6, six sides.
That's some living water.
You can
that's
make
a pet.
You can make a buck.
That's yeah.
insane, guys. Emily, you
but it's like
this
the
water?
Only bottle. Yeah, you get it at M Cafe. There's like another place, I think downtown somewhere, where they had a selection of waters, and that was one of them. There was also the Beverly Hills water, BH2O.
yeah, I mean, it's fun to do silly things.
I gave Molly one of my favorite waters,
oh
a
my
hint
God,
water.
You saved
last
my
night.
Life with yeah. that hint
and
water.
Are you still thinking about that
I
hint?
I am, yeah. yeah.
I love
is that
water.
The slightly minty water?
No, it's a slightly flavored with fruit water.
It can be flavored with many things.
It's like
it's
a
so
flat
good.
LaCroix, but it has a stronger flavor than LaCroix. And I don't know, though, Emily. If you smoked a lot of weed, you might like this water. That's what led me to this water, was being like, I don't like the taste of normal water. Like, I need something punchier but not
ooh,
bubbly.
I like some normal water.
I'm not into normal water in general. I don't drink a lot of water.
Oh, you gotta
I should.
Drink
oh, you gotta
but
drink
I
your water.
No, I don't like to drink
my
water.
My brother opened the floodgates to hydration.
You gotta open the porous.
My mom doesn't like the flavor of water. She only drinks carbonated water. She will not drink flat water. And I felt weird about carbonated water because when you're very thirsty, it like burns as you suck it down. So I needed
well,
a...
I was so thirsty last night because we ate ramen and yeah. then you offered me a water.
Because I always have a hint water in my purse.
Hint water, please sponsor us. Yeah. And Starfire water. We can have a conflict of interest.
I'm like a little sus of the Starfire water. I got to be real. $6
well, listen,
water.
Go to starfirewaterdelivery.com and see, become a believer.
Okay.
Next time you're here,
of ladies drinking water.
We should all go to Erewhon and just all pick out the
Oh, they definitely
things.
Have it.
Is it Erewhon or Erhoon?
Yeah. Erewhon, and it's a made-up thing. It's nowhere
it's
backwards.
Nowhere backwards.
I've been there. It's one of those places that I go and I can't find anything to eat in there. Like, nothing's ringing any bells for me.
You don't want, like, an activated yam?
No. I don't like sprouted things. I'm not a grain person.
Oh, you're not a kelp noodle person?
No.
I'm such a kelp noodle person. Oh,
oh
my
no,
God.
No.
They're so good.
They don't have any calories. That's
I like all the silly health food. I feel like it's something about being from California. Just like,
I love it all.
I love a goddamn yeah. salad.
I love salad, too. But the salads that I like are not Erewhon.
Where do you fall on a hippie sandwich?
I like hippie sandwiches fine, but the bread cannot have seeds in it because I'm an anti-seeded
and there can't be
bread.
Alfalfa sprouts on it?
No, I'm okay with sprouts.
I hate, oh, sprouts are a deal killer
y'all
for
are
me.
Crazy.
I like the
I
idea of
sprout.
Eating an entire plant.
I
it makes me feel powerful.
I bought some sprouts yesterday.
I buy sprouts.
I go to Sprouts.
Oh, you go to Sprouts.
No, I also buy Sprouts.
Yeah, I buy Sprouts at Sprouts. Sprouts squared.
So we're going to take a night call from our buddy Holly, who has a question about the desert again.
Hey, night call. This is Holly. And I was wondering what you think it is about the American Southwest, like geographically, that inspires so many otherworldly stories or inspires actual aliens to land there. Who knows? Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you, Holly, for giving us a good question.
Thanks, Holly.
Full disclosure, that's Holly Anderson, friend of the pod.
So I, this is like barely related, but it made me think of this. I got the like one of the only Blu-rays I own, but it's one of my favorite movies and came out on Criterion. But True Stories, the David Byrne movie, and there's some quote in it because it takes place in Texas. And there was some quote, I think it was from David Byrne, who is like, there's something about the bigger a space is, the wider the space, the more empty space there is. Theoretically, everybody should have space to do whatever they want and be into whatever they want, and nobody should feel like somebody else doing what they're into or getting into whatever weird thing they're into is infringing on their space. And I think sometimes that doesn't always bear out, maybe especially in more conservative parts of Texas. But I think like that's sort of the thing when we were talking about New Mexico last week, that was sort of the thing I dug about it. It felt like you have the real estate to wave your freak flag, to believe the things you want to believe, to get into whatever conspiracy theories you want to get into, and nobody's gonna rain on your parade,
you
literally, because there's
open
no rain.
Sky also.
Yeah.
That seems very conducive to UFO stuff, is just having a lot of time to look at the sky and having a lot of sky not blocked out by skyscrapers.
Yeah. Or trees.
I think there's also something at this point, and so we're going to be talking about Roswell, New Mexico again, because it's going to be on tomorrow if you're listening to this the day the podcast comes out. And there's something about now, especially like at this point, someplace like Roswell, it's also like a self-propelling myth. Like it's part of the DNA of that area now. It's just like alien shit.
Yeah. And it's like Americana because it's like Route 66, all that stuff.
And it's like very atomic age stuff.
And roadside attraction stuff of like, you know, you have a car and you can drive places now. Yeah. And like, what will make you go to a place?
Yeah.
I'm just still thinking about why aliens would land in the desert. And you guys,
let's talk about this question.
I just wanted to say that it's because it's the only place where there's enough like clearing to land your spaceship.
Right, right. There's
That's
runway.
A good theory.
That's it. No, it's not a theory. That's just the truth. Like, think about it. Well, like, where else would they do it?
I liked what we came up with last week, which is that they're coming for the Christmas-style chili.
Well, that's definitely true. But it's also like you don't want to – if you're landing a spaceship, what if like at your home planet you don't have trees, you don't know what they are, like the mountains, irregular terrain. It's all like really hard to navigate.
It looks the most like the Martian landscape.
Yeah, and it's also like it's like if you pass, you know, a supermarket and you see like a big, huge, empty parking lot, even if you don't need anything, you're like, seems really easy to just pop in. So that's what they're thinking.
If you think about humans going and exploring other planets and trying to find a place to land that feels like it would be like friendly or at least easy to traverse, we would probably look for a place that's like near a body of water that has growing things and that kind of like something that feels Earth-like.
Yeah.
And if you're coming from, say, Mars, like you're going to look for the thing that looks most Mars-like. It makes sense.
And the place with the Christmas chili.
The life-giving nutrient.
It's also like the desert has been subbed for alien places in film and TV so much. Like Star Trek is all just shot in like the desert.
Yeah.
They're like, we're on another world.
Because it's California.
But yeah, so the idea that they're not inhospitable to life. They're just hospitable to different kinds of life.
Different kinds of life. You guys went to the interactive experience on Sunset Boulevard for Roswell, New Mexico. And in the show, so Liz, who's the main character, her family owns this diner called the Crashdown Diner, which is like an alien-themed diner, which looks super awesome. And I wish we could hang out there and record our podcast there.
Well.
IRL. But you did the next best thing, which is you went to like a recreation of it that was on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, it was called Crashdown on Sunset. And it was in the Old Tower Records, which I was obviously very excited about.
Yep.
On the Sunset Strip. And so I picked Tess up and we went there last night. And it was super fun. And they had the Crashdown Cafe inside. And
that's so awesome.
We legit like hung out there for so long.
For so long.
Like, it's like a very Twin Peaksy type like diner vibe.
It's
it feels
perfect
like
fake diner, and they had a jukebox that was playing like Three Dog Night One, Harry Nilsson's One. It was all like songs that we like anyway.
And there was fake food.
There's fake food.
Prop food and drinks are like something that I just never get sick of looking
beautiful.
At.
Beautiful. There was like a fake cherry pie and like a fake milkshake. Some of the things could be moved off the table, but others could not. Yeah. So we had to like go through everything to find out what things were movable.
I love that. That sounds so fun.
It was so fun. And then
it's
there
like
were
a
like,
children's museum vibe.
It was like a children's museum. And then there was like a setup with some alien eggs.
That changed color. Yeah.
Changed color when you touch them.
Spoiler alert, there are
video.
Alien eggs in Roswell, New Mexico, the show.
And it was funny, because all the like alien environments just felt very like a chill out room.
Yeah, it did.
You were like, oh, I could just hang out here.
If that had been in a tent at Coachella,
right?
You know, it would have been totally reasonable.
Totally.
By the way, that's a good idea to bring
somebody get on that.
Sponsored tie-in pop-ups to Coachella.
So that you can hang out
just
with alien
eggs.
Just
places to like ride out your freak out with the alien eggs. I'm into it. It was fun and everybody there was really nice.
But, we did all of the things and then we went back to the diner. That was the thing. We like finished the course of photo things and then we were like, let's just go hang out in the diner some more.
Are you gonna, right what here. If they just like leave it? Like nobody else wants that space so they just like make it a real diner. You should petition for that to happen.
Well, we were saying there's like a Saved by the Bell diner in West Hollywood that's a pop-up that's just kind of seemingly semi-permanent.
And it was always really busy because
it's the Max.
It's by Target, so like you're milling around outside and you're like, oh, I should go in, and then it's like weirdly always crowded.
It's going to be featured on this season of Vanderpump Rules, apparently. Which
it's going to be featured on this
sense.
Season of Night Call, probably, too. <at this point. laughs>
Yeah, so we talked to the people also who did the Roswell pop-up because we were like, oh, we're here from a podcast, and like, how are you guys involved with this? And they were saying they worked for the company that put on the pop-up that has also done other, like, experiential LA pop-up things, including the house from It that was at Hollywood and Vine for several months. And then I guess you went through it and it eventually became, like, a larger haunt somewhere else. But it looked terrifying because there was like...
It looked too scary. I almost went and then I was just like, I don't know, actually.
The clown from It is so scary.
I know.
Well, I think like you guys wanting to hang out at the diner kind of speaks to, I don't know, I think I really like dig the world of the show,
Roswell,
New Mexico, because it's like, it is that kind of thing that's super Americana-ish and kind of kooky, and you kind of feel like there could be a lot of interesting things that happen in a town where everybody's like kind of obsessed with / sick of hearing about aliens.
Yeah, and we were hearing actually from our producer, Roy, who knows some people in New Mexico, that... Yeah. It is like that it's the local culture of the town, so everybody celebrates it as like the town's culture, and there's a UFO festival. Tess, go with the pronunciation of
ufology. And
we should all definitely
we
go.
Should go.
There's another one in the LA in the high desert, I think, which we could also check out.
No, thanks. Pass on that.
No, like a Joshua tree.
No,
like, come
I'm
on.
Good.
Come
nah,
on.
I'm fine. I could Skype into that, though, if you guys want. I also like in Roswell, I became very fond of the like nostalgia aspect. Liz is ending up going back and then there's a high school reunion. And obviously, you know, there are tensions that are existent still from high school years. It's their 10th reunion, I think. But They played, I was, Molly and I were watching the show at the same time, and definitely harkened back to the Counting Crows record that came out.
Oh my God, yes. School. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
But also, did you guys know that Mrs. Potter's Lullaby was about Monica Potter, the actress, who ended up going on some dates with Adam Duritz, which
what?
Is also just like a strange addition to his
catalog. Is that what the name of that song is?
Yes, it is. This is a rumor. This is the rumor. Song Facts backs me up.
I thought you were going to say it was about UFOs.
No, it's not about UFOs. It was.
What if Counting Crows is about UFOs?
Well, if there's going to be an alien walking among us,
it's crows.
Could it be Duritz?
Oh, I was going to say the animal crow.
The animal, the crow.
Yeah, they're so smart.
They're very
they
smart,
are.
But
they
so are.
Are
a lot of birds.
Let's get back.
Right. In the pilot episode, Liz comes back to her town. She kind of reunites with her high school sweetheart, Max. And then very quickly it becomes apparent that Max is one of several aliens that landed in Roswell in the famous 1947, is that right?
Yeah.
Crash. And he's just kind of been chilling incognito as a hot police officer, as a hot cop.
A hot cop. Very confusing.
Can you imagine the balls it takes to land on
it's
another
a hot,
planet and be like, I'm going to police this
I'm going to be a
planet.
Cop.
Well, yeah. Like,
no, it's genius.
We're like, we just want to like hang out and live our lives.
Well, because they're by a lot. Well, spoiler.
Yeah.
They are both assimilated humans and
yes,
aliens
yes.
because
right.
of the nature
saying,
of when they arrived.
This
well,
show
you,
reminds
you were
me also True
Blood.
Blood yeah,
right, and I was
I
saying
liked.
That too.
Yeah.
But I think the interesting thing about this one, because it does have a lot of that kind of like
it also has a
paranormal
guy, the hot
romance.
Cop is from was in True Blood
yeah.
Yeah.
as a boyfriend like, of Jessica, the hot vampire.
Right. But like I think the thing that makes it kind of interesting is not that they're these predators that are kind of living among the humans, but that they're like actually scared and like trying to like hide themselves,
right.
which feels a lot more interesting. Like they're more vulnerable than just like sexy predators.
No, for sure. And they make it very apparent early on that like the metaphor is intentional.
Yes.
Because
but
the
it like
show,
works.
The first scene, as you were saying, it's like somebody getting stopped by ice.
Yeah. And her
yeah.
father, Liz's father, is
yeah,
undocumented.
We were talking about one. Would you date an alien if it
oh.
was in the a body of a human? And also, what if you found out your high school sweetheart had been an alien all along?
There are so many people who you wouldn't be surprised if you found out they'd been an alien all along.
Who's chief among them?
Tess made a list of hot aliens. I think
did.
The idea that maybe super hot people are aliens is a good theory.
Yeah.
Remember that period when models all looked like aliens?
It's the very high cheekbones
yeah.
and wide set
mm-hmm.
eyes.
Right.
Is kind
they
of
have
close
the triangle
to a gray.
Face. Looks like an alien.
Yeah.
So Tess was saying, she was like, who's the hottest alien? And I was like, are aliens really hot normally? Because I was thinking
no.
of the alien from Alien, who's hot in their own way, obviously.
That's generous.
But I feel like we should check in with these hot aliens.
I have Jeff Goldblum from Earth Girls Are Easy being
okay.
one of
yeah.
them. Matt.
Sure.
Amen, amen. All the Earth Girls are easy.
Yeah. Bowie, mm-hmm. who we mentioned last week, but just
right.
to like reemphasize
mm-hmm.
that. Jeff Bridges in
Oh, in
Starman.
Oh, that's
yeah.
a hot alien for
Although,
sure.
I must say that I have to qualify that. He is taking a human form of a dead husband, if memory serves.
Mm,
I think he's like
yes.
shape-shifting.
But I like that all the
yeah.
hot aliens
that's
are
cheating.
Just hot 70s guys.
Yeah,
so that's
well,
like
yeah.
the dad in Contact, too. Like,
yes,
that's an
yeah.
alien in the shape of her dad.
I don't know
yeah.
if that counts, because obviously if you shape-shift, you're going to shape-shift into someone hot. It's not like how you look. But
but again, the idea is like maybe we wouldn't know, we wouldn't be able to comprehend with our eyes.
Yeah.
It would be as though we were wearing a blindfold from Bird Box.
It's true, exactly. We keep tying it back to Bird Box.
Thank you,
that's
thank you.
And then also Mila Jovovich from
yeah,
Fizzle,
number one,
obviously, who I think is like a believable
you know,
personification
yeah.
of a hot alien.
I was also, to bring it all back around, I was saying the Fifth Element opera scene is exactly what the Masked Singer is like.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
You're selling the Masked
well,
Singer
like
so
what,
well to me.
What you think the future will be like, and now that
right.
we're in the weird cyberpunk future, it's like, give us the weird cyberpunk shows.
Yeah, me as well.
It's like in episode 3 of Star Wars, the prequels, where they go to an opera and it's just like balls of light in an arena. Anyway, I'm gonna bring up another really geeky example of a hot alien, which is Jadzia Dax in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. But she's not. So again, it's sort of a stretch because she's a host body for a Trill, which is like a it's like this. many hundreds, I think hundreds of years old creature
is
that
Spock
like has
an
to jump
alien?
From.
Yeah.
People love Spock. Vulcan.
No, eh.
Not for me, but like a lot of people think Spock
is
hot.
I like the Zachary Quinto Spock. I think he's very cute.
No. I won't let you do that.
Also, Kristen Johnson in Third Rock from the Sun. Those are all the hot aliens.
Who else is a hot alien? There have to be more.
So if somebody wanted to get with you, but they were an alien, would you feel like they automatically had ulterior motives?
Oh, species. That's what I was thinking of. She's an alien, right?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
That's the hottest alien.
Yeah, so that's the hottest alien.
Would you get with an alien, or would you be like nervous that they were going to like, what, abduct you?
Also, this is I was looking this up for other reasons this week, but this is considered a close encounter of the seventh kind when you mate with an alien. There's levels here.
The seventh kind? What comes before that?
There's all sorts of, like, where you, communication, touch, all that, but, like, mating, or when a hybrid is produced, I believe is the seventh kind.
Whoa, yeah. Is there stuff beyond seventh? Is that like, if they lick your eyeball, that's eighth.
Go to eighth base.
You're in eighth base with the alien. I mean, I'd do it. I wouldn't be too paranoid.
Well, I think what we've learned is that the aliens are going to be really hot. So
you
better be, you know, if that's something you're concerned about.
I love how the aliens are hot on Roswell, but they also, like, arrived in these glowing pink eggs. Like, that's so adorable to me. I just, like, it's so endearing.
We have yet to learn if they have any memories of before Earth. That's like kind of what I'm curious about, is because if they don't, then aren't they just like super, they basically are like people with superpowers, kind of.
Did you guys watch
Out
of This World?
Yeah, they have like healing powers. Yeah, Out of This World was so good.
It's my other favorite. Do you ever watch Out of This World?
I did not.
It was a sitcom about a girl who was an alien, and she talked to her dad through a glowing orb.
Yep.
It was like a crystal.
He gave her advice from
his
planet.
It was just part of the weird 80s shows where people were doing so much coke that they were like, yeah, she's an alien.
It was on
an alien kid.
Well, there's also the one where Small Wonder I was thinking about last night.
Oh, Small Wonder was good, too.
Yeah. Maybe robots come after aliens.
I mean, they can all exist in the same plane. Like with crystals, man, they're just like, they are what you want them to be. They're just other.
So the premiere of Roswell, the premiere episode, is on January 15th, which if you're listening to this the day we drop, then this should be tomorrow. And then it'll be available on CW to stream on CW's app. I don't know. I'm excited to see more of it. It feels like good to have a good paranormal teen show or like YA adjacent show.
It gives me the X-Files feeling too.
Totally.
Just happy about. I like a big practical effect egg.
Yeah.
The hot guy in it. Who doesn't?
So we wanted to really quickly just talk about / point people to an article on The Outline about the School of Practical Philosophy, which if you have ever lived in New York, you are probably familiar with or have seen ads for on the subway. The article is by Katie Bloom, and she kind of just like decided to take the bait, because these posters have always been in the subway, I think, for, you know, I've seen them as long as I've been here. I think they've been around for decades, but offering these introductory general practice philosophy classes, and they, you know, promise happiness or, you know, a greater understanding of life, all things that sound great. And the School of Practical Philosophy, that sounds like
I'm
interested in practical philosophy. I think we talked about this a little bit when Richard Lawson was on the podcast, because he's also kind of fascinated.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a New York specific.
It is.
I don't remember it from growing up, but
we obviously have
there.
Plenty of billboards for weird things in LA.
Yeah, this is a very, I don't know, it's like the New York version of it, and it doesn't seem as dippy as like the LA version of it.
Well,
would
also
be,
because
I think.
It's cheap.
Yes.
Which is the best thing about it, is that it's $10.
Yeah, and it's like a 10-week course. And so anyway, Katie Blue and the writer went and, you know, was not impressed with her first class, and it just seemed like philosophy for people who don't wanna like actually grapple with any hard questions.
Yeah.
Like everything was just sort of like, we're all a part of the truth of the world, like that kind of stuff. But
well,
then
I thought
she
that
kind
the
of
best nugget was when she said that her instructor posed a question for everyone to think about a challenging situation that they were like, didn't know what to do. And then she, the kind of solution to this that was supposed to be revelatory was, well, what would a wise person do? And the author was like, well, if I knew that, it wouldn't be a problem. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, almost like a rhetorically a dumb question, you know? Yeah.
It's like smooth brain philosophy or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a really interesting article. We wanted to get more stories, I think they're not nearly enough, about things that are like not cults, but kind of have the feeling, the sort of packaging of a cult, especially things that exist in cities, I think, because that's a little, it's, you know, I feel like the image of an American cult is some kind of like commune out in the country. But I feel like if you were offering some sort of life improvement course or some kind of 10-week program to improve your life or take money from people, I feel like city dwellers are like easier marks just because like you're more likely to be run down and feel like, oh, yeah, I could use some practical philosophy.
Right. But also the SPP, like when she goes into the background of it, it does have many of the kind of like markings of a cult. I mean, it has disconnection from family members who aren't involved, a lot of volunteer requirements. So I think we're looking for stories of things that are somewhere on the cult spectrum, wherever that may fall.
Right.
Anything culty. But you should call us and tell us your experiences with these things or your thoughts or fears about
please
culty
call
things. 240-46-NIGHT, or you can email us at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to be anonymous, just let us know and we will not reveal your identity so the cults can't come after you.
But thanks, everybody, for listening this week. We'll be back next week. And yeah, give us a call.
Yeah, give us a night call. Happy night calls to you.
Wee.
Wee.
This week's Night Call is brought to you by Roswell, New Mexico. Catch the all-new series Roswell, New Mexico, Tuesday at 9, 8 Central, only on the CW, or anytime on the free CW app.